Fascinating.
You know, it's fascinating.
Star Trek! We fucking love Star Trek! So this is the dual...
Yeah, this is a mind core and random bits of geek extra, I guess, because we all just love Star Trek so goddamn much that we wanted to talk about it for a little while.
We have talked about Star Trek on, I think, every episode for a while running on the Mindcore podcast just as a reference point for so many things.
We discuss it a lot on Random Bits of Geek, too, of course, but, you know.
Reverend Grimes and I have a metaphysical relationship through Star Trek, I believe.
You guys are joined through the cosmos by your love of Star Trek?
He's like my Star Trek priest.
He's the Aristotle to your Alexander the Great in all things Star Trek.
I think priest is more than philosopher because, like, every time I learn something new on Deep Space Nine, I'm watching. and I did this through the entire series for Enterprise. And yes, fuck you all. I love Enterprise. I love Deep Space Nine. And I will probably also love Voyager.
Yay! If we get you to watch it, you're going to. Don't feel bad about that, though, because there's like, I don't know, got to be six or seven of you that do love that show.
I kept seeing that goddamn Borg chick on those FHM magazines.
Well, that was because guys wanted to touch themselves when they looked at pictures of her. It didn't mean they watched the show or gave a shit about it.
And I absolutely love Vulcans. I wish that, you know, that I could read all those Vulcan novels.
You wish that you could fuck a Vulcan is what you're really saying.
Yeah, no, I would really, really, really like that.
Actually, Enrique has very highly fetishized Star Trek.
Well, I have drawings of naked Vulcans with Jack Parsons in my sketchbook. And I also,
Aren't they very explicit?
Well, no, you were just blinded by the Amarita spraying yonis that I really, really want to draw erotica comics. I want to draw all kinds of comics. Reverend Grimes and I are making a comic right now, which we will be trying to sell to you very aggressively when it's finished. But it's I read erotica comics. I think they're outstanding. I think Milo Manara is a European comic book artist. He's in Heavy Metal magazine all the time. And, you know, some of these guys have really taken... Michael Manning is considered to be, like, a real post-punk, like, even kind of, like, gallery artist. And all his stories are just weird cybernetic sci-fi porn.
Can I ask you a question and will you answer it honestly? Mm-hmm. Do you read Star Trek fanfic?
No, but it's high on my to-do list. Like, the other day, I was actually thinking, why have I not read Star Trek fanfic?
You know what I read, actually?
But I've never read any fanfic. For all my total...
I have.
Pervo... I know you have.
I read South Park fanfic.
That's fucked up.
Isn't that weird? Because they're like made out of like construction paper. They don't look fucking real.
That was the comic book bandit who taught me about fanfic in the first place.
Yeah, because he's an aficionado. He's a connoisseur.
Yeah, he's like reads like porno stories about the X-Men.
He really loves comic books a lot.
Well, Star Trek is very sex positive, so it's very easy for one to explore their sexual fantasies.
All of them are, except for Voyager, which is a little matronly.
Okay,
but they had 7 of 9. So.
Which Star Trek chicks would you fuck?
Well, I'm a femdom kind of guy. So.
Which Star Trek chicks would I fuck?
Yes. If you say 7 of 9, I'm going to kick you in the balls.
No, you can't do that.
I'm done.
That's like Cardassian interrogation tactics. In Cardassia, you are found guilty before your trial, and your attorney's only job in Cardassia is to help you make psychological peace with your execution.
It's completely okay. She doesn't get to do that because 2 minutes ago she was saying how Zachary Quinto is the head of her sexual fantasies.
I love Zachary Quinto, even though he's gay.
Well, he's
outstanding,
that's fine. Spock.
Yeah, and you know, I'm glad that he came out, and that way I don't have to, you know, have my hopes up, you know? That was very...
Oh, gay dudes fuck chicks all the time. Don't let them tell you any different.
Well, I'm just saying,
what chicks
I love you, Zachary Quinto.
Which ones would you fuck? You would fuck
to
Paul, of course.
Oh, shit, Jesus. Well, I'm going to start weeping tears of joy. She'd
break you.
What is it called? The pressure techniques? The Vulcan acupressure?
The nerve pinch?
Yeah, no, they do the nice one to each other. They have...
You know they can't see the gestures you're making.
He's
right?
making a nice pinchy gesture, like a very gentle pinch, like you pinch a nipple.
We'll put up a GIF of
I really
of that
think
gesture.
That the Romulans are hot, but I don't have a particular Romulan. That
have you
I
made
have
it far enough
for?
In Deep Space Nine that you've met Mirror Universe Nerys yet?
Yes.
Yeah, I would fuck Major.
She reminds
Universe,
me too much of Red.
What?
My friend Red.
And contributor.
Yeah, she's go to MindCoreStudios.com. Yay, MindCoreStudios.com. Everything we do is on MindCoreStudios.com. Blah, blah, blah. Anyways, so our friend and contributor Red, her personality and her like disposition and her whole style is so much like this Kira Nerys character. And I'm down with Red. You know, I could probably have sex with Red if we wanted to have sex.
I think this is an open invitation right now over the air.
But
I'm sure boyfriend
is thrilled. You're just saying
she
gives you a weird boner. That's
but ultimately, no. But that's not my first response.
Weird boner.
No. The weird boner is what we could use that if we wanted to. But it's not my first response. My first response is like, this is family. But because I am an Avori priest, I can get over that and still have a good time.
How does anyone on Star Trek look or remind you of anyone but anyone out of Star Trek? I don't understand. These characters are real to me. They're living and breathing. They don't remind me of someone.
No, I love...
James Kirk is James Kirk.
I love to associate my friends with fictional characters. Once I get really into something, and we did this really hardcore with Game of Thrones, Diana and I.
Yes, we did.
And we should do a Game of Thrones. You guys have already... Random Gets of Geek should do a Game of Thrones episode every 10 episodes. It's such a great series.
Well, it's hard to do that when it's off the air right now.
Yeah,
I'm sure we'll touch on it again later. But
hopefully the author doesn't develop health problems.
Oh my god. Yeah, it's so spooky, dude.
It's the inconsiderate
scary.
Author move of dying.
Yeah, Robert Jordan.
Thank you,
did
Robert
it.
Jordan.
Yeah.
So
it gives me anxiety that he'll die.
But this is how I got my wife into Star Trek, she accidentally watched a few episodes just because she was chilling with me, and I almost like tricked her into it. And then I was like, this friend is from this species. Like, we have one friend who's a Klingon.
Oh no, I think that's very different.
I believe
that you can associate your friends with the races because they're proud, strong, wonderful races.
Well,
so I think the Star Trek universe in general is... It's as well conceived as any fictional universe that exists. It really is.
Yeah, the beautiful thing about it is it's a future you want to live in.
I mean,
what other thing is as hopeful as that?
No, it's intensely positive.
It's so beautiful.
It's therapeutic. Star Trek heals my wounds from this horrible world we live in.
Soul boner.
This,
Star Trek.
And I'm not even joking. It's funny, but if I have a hard day, more days than I would like to confess, and I can watch Star Trek and just be like, oh, thank God.
You're gonna be so enlightened by then.
I did that.
Pressure
with Star
is
Trek.
Off.
I remember watching a Star Trek marathon after a college breakup or something, that just
it's solid.
I've watch Star Trek. I still watch Star Trek. If I'm bummed out, I'll put the fucking original series on and 30 minutes in and I don't care. I'm so fucking happy and just blissful.
It's great shit. Just all around. To the audience who reads my blog, you'll know that I have a fake religion that I haven't inducted anyone. You can't convert to my religion. My religion is anti-conversion. You have to be drafted. We are very much Cardassian Romulan style in that way. And the first person to be drafted, I'm going to induct posthumously. Am I saying it wrong?
Posthumously.
Can we say it again?
Posthumously.
Posthumously.
Gene Roddenberry. And apparently, like, from what you tell me, he was just kind of like a screwball, kind of regular dude who just had tons of ideas. But he just...
Well, I mean, we've talked about this before, though. I mean, really, it's not that many ideas. He had ideas with a twist.
Yeah, but he was just kind of like a hustler. He was like, if you don't like my space show, we can have a television show about a talking dog and a talking cat.
There was a show that he was working on. There was a show that was going to be a medical examiner type show with DeForest Kelly as the lead. That's why if you watch the original pilot, DeForest Kelly doesn't play the doctor. It's some different doctor, but still very much an old country, same mold, older guy. But it's because DeForest Kelly was playing in this other thing, and then he was like, no, come on, you get to be in.
But he was a true visionary, and he, in my fake religion, the sacred thing is the muses, and the muses are defined as benevolent memes, like memes that are symbiotic with humans, that make us stronger, and I think that, like...
Star Trek is such a meme.
Star Trek is the ultimate example that I have found. I think Star Trek is superior to all the religious texts.
It's so true.
And that it basically encapsulates all the best things of humanist philosophy that you could ever want.
We should have a Scientologist-like religion based around Star Trek.
I think that's basically what Trekkies are.
You know, I saw a Trekkie documentary that made me violent. Like,
why? I haven't seen that one.
It just filled me with, like, a weird rage.
I tried to watch the Captain's documentary where they all just kind of interview each
other. You're like, yeah, these guys are kind of boring after a while. Yeah. I want to watch them fighting other alien races. Yeah, I watched that. I watched the whole thing, and...
I would need some opiates.
I do like the weird intensity that Avery Brooks has.
Oh, my God, that man is the messiah. I like Avery Brooks as Captain Sisko. He's not captain yet. When does he ever become captain?
Yeah, he gets there on the show.
That he is superior to Jean-Luc Picard.
By the time he gets to captain. No, eat a bowl of dicks. You will not ever see that about
words.
They're wearing the
you will watch Deep Space Nine, and you will see that man's Nubian face upon screen.
Yeah, and it's the first couple of seasons. You're going to go, man, why am I watching this show with this guy that's not Captain Picard or not Captain Kirk or whatever, whoever your favorite captain is. But then you get to about season 3 or 4, and this is a real actor. I think the actor brings so much to the role.
Oh, my God.
Not to say anything about Patrick Stewart. He certainly is, too. But this man is just so intense. And he's intense and everything. And I know
he hypnotizes you.
I know you so well. And I know that you would fall in love. That you would suddenly develop a fetish for really intense black guys that shaved their heads and had goatees. You would just do that. That's how strongly
and
I believe.
And he grew his goatee when he went to Bajor. And he decided that he was going to build a ship with solar sails to prove that the Bajorans had been to Cardassia 800 years prior, which is really what cemented Cardassian-Bajoran peace. And he took his son on the journey, and they almost crashed.
Jake is the Wesley character in the show that manages to be so much better than Wesley.
Yeah, Wesley kind of pissed me off.
I can't hate on Wesley. He's the space angel. He's like the Silver Surfer, man.
I realize that it's popular to hate on Wesley, but I also realize that that's because Wesley sucks.
No.
Sometimes the popular opinion is the correct opinion. Not usually, not always, but sometimes
my Spanish blood comes out for Star Trek, and I want to hold Inquisitions.
It was the Counselor Troi.
Counselor Troi.
I liked her planet that she was from.
Bajor, where they get married naked.
Yeah, Bajor seemed kind of utopian and awesome. Like, I could live there.
No, Bajor, that's where Commander Sisko, he's totally spiritually connected to Bajor. They think he's
We're talking about Bajor, no. What is Troi?
With the Betazoids.
Betazoids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was my original Star Trek fetish. I used to watch Star Trek with my father. I was probably...
Because of Deanna Troi?
Yeah, oh my God!
Okay, you are going to like B'Elanna Torres on Voyager.
Oh, there's a Betazoid on Voyager? There's
no, B'Elanna Torres is half...
Klingon, isn't she?
She's half Klingon.
Why do I know that?
I had the hots for her. I've watched a couple of episodes of all the Star Trek.
So that's important. Have you watched any of the animated series?
No, but...
It's on Netflix.
It is on instant queue for me.
Okay.
Please forgive me. My job is so cruel and it needs so much time.
That you can't just watch... Hours and hours.
I understand. I watched.
You're bad at Star Trek religion.
No, listen.
You're bad at Star Trek religion.
I will put the data to the fucking test. Since I got Netflix, which is in December.
All right, and today it's February 9th. Is that correct?
Yeah. Okay. I have watched all of Enterprise, the entire series.
Four seasons.
And I am on the tail end of season 3 of Deep Space Nine.
Why are you holding your hand like you're casting a spell at me?
He is casting a spell. It's the spell of seven.
There is a Cardassian girl that I want to have sex with.
Now, to be fair, watching seven seasons since sometime in December. When in December?
Like the beginning, because I spilled my seed early.
A season about every week and a half. Of Star
Wowzers.
Trek. So, yeah, never mind. You're very good at Star Trek religion. You're just a late convert.
You told me that you watched all of them.
I have.
And then when you said that to me, something happened in the Kabbalah Tree of Life, and you reprogrammed me, and my true will suddenly became to watch all the Star Treks.
What should we call the Star Trek religion?
Well, I mean... You know, there's a lot of approaches.
Let's call it Picardism.
No, we can't have
no.
You can't even have one Star Trek religion.
Okay, wait. So
there's millions of Star Trek
religions.
I'm a
Picardophilite.
So let's do that, because every show that talks about Star Trek has to do that. You're obviously a Picard girl.
I love him.
It is
all
for
the
her,
way.
Due to her
I
ignorance.
Love him.
It's because that's all you've really watched.
That's right.
You haven't watched all of the original series. You haven't watched any of Deep Space Nine.
Your love
Voyager,
for Picard is like that of a 16-year-old child. Mine is like, mine for Sisko is like that of the adult who has traveled far and wide and
yeah,
seen
who's
many
a used
things.
Up hoe.
Well, yeah,
oh.
I'm
no,
sure
you're the one who's accused me of having a Vincent Price fetish, which is true.
And
but...
Jean-Luc just killed Ben's wife. Let's just be real honest about that. That's what
too.
Happened there. That's this Jean-Luc guy, he's not that great. He killed.
Well, it wasn't his fault. He
Benjamin Sisko's wife.
Borg.
Whatever. Jean-Luc, Locutus, whatever.
It was like manslaughter.
Same thing.
I wouldn't hold it against you things you did.
I should get a tattoo of Captain Jean-Luc Picard as a Borg.
Well, you would not be the first.
I would not be the first?
No, dude, Star Trek people are hardcore. That's why for you to say, let's start a Star Trek religion, there's probably people listening right now, it's like, duh,
right.
I have like 10 Star Trek religions right in front of me.
Right, there's probably like some order out there with 13 chapters, maybe with more, with 20, 30 chapters.
Just for
and like an elaborate hierarchy.
Yeah, I'm sure there are rules to
this.
Did you
know that Star Trek gets regularly referenced in all my pop science books that I read?
I'm sure it does.
Like, Steven Pinker talks about Data when he's talking about how consciousness works and stuff like that. Like, it totally is. Star Trek has transformed the world with its glorious light.
Yeah, and there's all that Star Trek technology, you know, that stuff that came out of
Trek. Stuff that came out from kids saying, I want to make that.
Yeah.
I want to make that. I'm going to get smart so I can do this.
Yeah.
That's what I want. I want this to happen. Ugh, what a
I had the
show.
Pleasure.
Star Trek was Mindcore before Mindcore was.
Oh,
Mindcore.
No, yeah, totally. We are, but some of this cum that's on the fucking rubber on the ground.
We have the skid mark, the Roddenberry left behind.
We're the sanatorium residue.
If Gene Roddenberry was alive right now, I'd be trying to turn him into L. Ron Hubbard.
You could do that posthumously.
Yeah, that's my goal. But you know, it's you know, Scientology.
You have to watch more first, though.
Okay.
You've watched The Wrath of Khan. You like this movie?
I love The Wrath of Khan.
Okay, and this is a commitment. We will have another combo episode.
That was the best movie
when
ever.
Diana has watched, what should we say, one entire, is that too much?
Yes.
One season.
You guys are so slow as it is, and you're going to tie something like that into it?
One season of a non-next-gen Star Trek. Your choice.
Okay. Well, then I guess I'll do Deep Space Nine.
That's my favorite.
I do Deep Space Nine.
But the first season of Deep Space Nine is not the best.
Oddly sexual.
Not even close.
Yeah, you will not give a fuck after the first season. So okay.
What I'm going to do is stipulate that you watch the first episode and you treat that as just, this is your introduction to these characters. This is who that is. And then we're going to go to season 2 or 3, and that's where we're going to start watching.
Yeah, start like season 3 is hardcore. No, season 2 is good because it kind of lubes you up at first.
That is what the natural metaphor for you. Like, that's the casual.
No, you don't understand.
I'm just talking.
It's like if you know about Star Trek and you're like.
You associate it with
there
anal
is
sex.
Nothing more hardcore than the Romulans. And the Klingons and the Cardassians. Like, these are all the most hardcore badasses of all time. And then they meet the Dominion. And the Dominion's like,
fuck you guys. What are these? Are these your little. You're going to send your little poodle after me?
The Dominion.
Fuck you, Klingon.
They genetically engineer, like, kind of like in Dune with the Sardaukar. They genetically engineer a whole race of aliens and populate entire planets with them where they're born with a genetic instinct to kill at your command.
Awesome.
And they're all just, they live a few years. They're rapid growth. They're fed drugs to make them even more aggressive and more. Easily suggestible. The Dominion are my favorite.
You know, the Dominion, and the Dominion also, as a civilization, is so complex and has such apologetics behind. Because the thing is, like, that's the thing with Star Trek, is when you meet the bad guy and you really get to know the bad guy, you're going to be like, the bad guy is right.
That is a wonderful thing about Star Trek.
Yeah, sometimes they sell you this as an argument, and that you have to actually think about it. And the Dominion has a very good reason for being suspicious of our side of the wormhole. And I would probably be fucking up the. I don't want to. Spoiler alert! Well, I can't because Diana hasn't seen it. No, you got to get it. You got to get it without knowing what's coming.
Ooh, I gotta get lubed up so I can take the penetration.
No, you can't have a Star Trek episode and not talk about the things that happened in Star Trek because she hasn't seen them yet.
But she can't know about the changelings and
she's
the solids and the planet.
All right. Okay.
The halflings,
I will say,
how dare you?
That this race, this Dominion, they're so badass and they're so just to be feared, and they're the to me, they're the end-all bad guys. They're worse than the Borg. They're worse than... They take an entire major Star Trek race, a major race, and they decimate that race. Literal military decimation where 1 in 10 of the population is killed.
Oh my god!
For treason.
I haven't seen this yet.
It's, well,
you asshole!
I said a race. I didn't say what.
I will be like, oh no, is it the Cardassians? Please don't attack the Ferengi. I love the rules of acquisition.
Do you want me to just tell you?
No, I haven't.
I feel like I should just tell you.
Dude, No. Mm-mm.
Okay.
I plugged my ears
my
breath.
We just caused Netflix to crash. No, I wish.
It's the Cardassians.
What a chode.
Boo.
That was my first guess.
It was your first guess.
But my fear was that it was the Vulcans.
No, the Vulcans get the fucking shit kicked out of them in the new universe. They're okay in the old universe. That's okay. You've seen the new movie, right?
Yes.
There are no more Vulcans. Not really.
God. I forgot about that. That is fucking retarded.
It's to make you sad, and it's to show that things aren't the same.
I love Vulcans.
Yeah, well, there's only a handful left. They are a very, very fragile people that not very many made it off the planet.
Somebody should just breed a billion half Vulcans.
I'm sure they will. As long as they're strapping young men like you to take up the challenge of stopping
the Vulcan few hundred Vulcan females there are in left. Their cycle go into heat. And they have a cool Vulcan word for it. And they have to get fucked or they die.
What was that show with Jessica Alba? Dark Angel.
Dark Angel.
Dark Angel. She had a heat cycle because she was a Dark Angel.
Oh, that's hot.
Oh, really?
I'm going to watch that show. That's what I was just
saying. Yeah, we'll cue that up. Is that on Netflix?
I'm sure I watched some hentai that's way dumber than that.
It was like a TBS show or something.
No, it was on Fox. It was James Cameron's Dark Angel.
Well, the hentai that you get on Netflix is kind of TBS-y.
I didn't know there was hentai on Netflix.
There's like no penetration. There's just like... There's just chick fights with tits all over the place.
That's on Netflix?
Yeah, we should watch some.
You know what I want to play? Just for like the weird curiosity of it? Have you ever seen those Japanese sim games where you're trying to fuck a girl?
Yeah, we should play that.
You have to make the right moves to fuck the girl.
We should play that, and we should do a Mindcore episode about it.
Yeah, I want to.
Anyways, are we off topic?
They're like 40 bucks.
We're way off topic.
Wait, what were we?
Star Trek is superior to all this
Jean-Luc
bullshit.
Jean-Luc is your favorite, because we're saying that's a false pick. But, Enrique, who's your favorite?
My favorite Star Trek character?
Your favorite Star Trek captain. We'll do character in a second.
Sisko, Jesus.
It's a good, solid choice.
Oh, my God.
But it's a tie.
No, I'll never be the same again.
For me, it's most of the time, it's James T. Kirk. But
yeah, I love Captain Kirk, and he deserves
I have to
props.
Say, every time I turn an episode of Deep Space Nine, I completely fall in love with Avery Brooks and with Benjamin Sisko all over again. And I just remember
what was his religious title that the Bajorans gave him?
He was the emissary.
The emissary.
He was the emissary of the prophets.
That's not his title that he, like, earned or anything. They were just like, you're in our Bible. Here you are. And he's like, what the fuck? I'm an atheist, except for when I go talk to your gods in the wormhole.
It does. It's a weird, trippy show. You'd like it.
Oh,
but
no, yeah. The
what I like about it...
The wormhole aliens, like, I totally... That's my religion.
What I like about it are the weird, religious, trippy overtones to it. And I also... Especially the questioning. There's some very serious elements of questioning, kind of a monotheistic whatever. There's also... It's by far the most militaristic of all of the Star Treks. By
yeah,
the time
when he unveils the Defiant.
Oh, is that season 3?
Yeah, I haven't. I think that's actually at the end of season 2.
Oh, I guess
season
so.
2 like
awesome.
Ends in a punch.
Much quicker.
We should have a black metal band that sings about Star Trek.
I will do any kind of Star Trek performance art. I just insist that we wear the uniform.
Well, it would have to be a black metal version of the uniform.
No, you can't. You can put some spiky bracelets on it, but that's about it.
You couldn't have it like monochrome?
No, but you could do the makeup and claim that you're part of the like black metal species.
Andorians.
That's
what I was saying.
We're doing our 2D Space Nine. Okay, so the Andorians.
The Andorians, of course, from the very first series, the guys with the badly done blue makeup and the goofy little antenna on their head that everybody knew,
I now have an antenna.
Were now
finish.
Taken and made awesome by Enterprise. It's one
yes.
of the things that Enterprise very
Commander
definitely
Shran.
Got what? Commander Shran is played by the wonderful Jeffrey Combs, who horror fans know. Jeffrey Combs.
I made
also
like
plays...
half of our friends Andorians when I did my trick for my wife, where I was like, if anybody I know is like quick tempered, intense, and very passionate, they're Andorian.
Well, Jeffrey Combs also plays one of the main characters in the series you're watching now, Deep Space Nine. in the latter seasons. He's one of the main antagonists in that. So just leave that as a nice little surprise for
you.
Oh,
man. They're so great. And they're one of the founding, like, main members of the Federation. For those of you who have not watched Enterprise, let me catch you up on what should already be Star Trek history for you, is that along with the Vulcans, the Andorians started the Federation with the humans. And they were at war with the Vulcans when all this started. And the humans basically, like, built that relationship between those two species. The Andorians are very warlike, very intense. Imagine, like, the Romulans are technically the Roman Empire, like version. But if you know a lot about Roman history, or Sparta, you imagine, like, a very... I mean, not quite as much as the Klingons. It's really hard to nail it. But in Enterprise, the case is made throughout the series that humans are kind of like the balance of those two energies. That we have this intensely logical side where we're like, yeah, we need to calculate. We need to make observations. We need to be, have numbers behind our decisions. But we're also like, if you insult me, I'll conquer your planet. We're like, oh, I want to fuck all the babes. Like, man, I want to get drunk. That's what the Andorians are like. But they're also extremely civilized. They have a very advanced technology and understanding of it. So we created...
Masters of espionage.
Oh, yeah, totally. They're bad.
What do you think? Well, we're on Enterprise for a second. Let's talk about Enterprise, because it's neglected a lot.
T'Pol is so hot.
T'Pol is hot. And you know what? The further I get into it, the only thing that I don't like on Enterprise is... I don't like Captain Quark.
Yeah, you told me.
I really don't.
I don't even know if I can talk about that with you.
I really don't. Archer likes to speechify a whole lot. He speechifies more than any other captain we've had. And we have some speechifying captains.
Oh, is he the dude
with
the beard?
We have three captains before...
I think that's Commander Riker you're thinking
of. Oh, yeah.
No, three of the four captains... No, this is Scott Bakula from Quantum Leap.
Yeah, but this is how bad Diana is. She doesn't even know.
You know Quantum Leap, right?
Yes, I know Quantum Leap.
Talks to Sam, right? Right, the Quantum Leap guy,
yeah,
right?
And yeah, he has to go back and learn about the past and face the future.
He's
this
a Star
a
Trek
show.
Captain. And he speechifies more
than he's great.
Any of the other captains.
Was that the one that had Clancy Brown on it for a second that pissed me off so bad?
Yes,
it did,
because Clancy Brown had the weird accent, and he was...
Yeah, he was some kind of fucking alien slug beast or something.
Yeah, he was an alien, like some kind of fucking slave trader or something. I can't remember.
I love the slaves. They were big green giants, the slave traders.
He wasn't green.
No, it was Clancy Brown.
Love the costumes.
He was in, wait a minute, he was in the Peter Weller episodes. Did you watch the Peter Weller episodes?
I watched every episode.
Okay, you know who Peter Weller is?
No, but I don't know who this actor is.
RoboCop?
Oh, yeah.
RoboCop's in a few episodes.
Oh, yeah. Fucking Earth for Humans.
Yes, yes. Absolutely. Okay, so the
with
his monk,
moon mining empire.
Right, the monk guy, the main miner guy or whatever, you know what I'm talking about now? Where's the brown robes,
yeah.
I think, right. That's Clancy Brown, of course, Brother Justin from Carnival. Star Trek has so many great actors all throughout it. People from everybody loves the show. Everybody wants to be a part of it.
Yes.
I love Simon Pegg. I really do. I love his comedy work. Shaun of the Dead, I think, is one of the best horror movies just pretty much ever. We even watched a movie recently that he was in that Paul, and it was good. It was funny.
It was about you two. It was very funny.
Yeah, we need to watch it
funny.
Together.
It's these two nerds go on a road trip and find an alien.
There is a huge part of me
we need to experiment
that only
marijuana.
Wants to see Simon Pegg from this point forward dressed as Commander Montgomery Scott. Because I think the new movie's good, too. I like all the Star Treks.
No, they
I
just
really
need to
do.
Keep making them. As long as they keep making them, no one will get hurt.
Janeway even is okay. Janeway and the whole... Because they have the Borg as the bad guy. That's really the only reason that Voyager gets passed. Is because it's got so
the
much
Borg
stuff.
The Borg is fucking scary! If you know, especially if you know anything about diseases, like this totally modeled after like how diseases spread. It's brilliant. It's if you're into memes and evolution and genetics, the whole idea of the Borg is this kind of like half machine, half living fucking super virus in space is brilliant. And there's and you know what has the best Borg episodes is fucking Enterprise, because there is a Borg shit in the ice somewhere.
It's not the best Borg to me.
Oh,
it's
my god,
good.
I was so scared.
The best Borg to me will always be my favorite. Okay, I gotta have two. My favorite Borg moments are Next Gen, of course, when Jean-Luc turns.
Yeah,
okay.
When you meet that the first time. And then my...
That's true.
Really,
I don't know what
my
I'm talking about.
Reigning supreme Borg thing, though, even though there was so much of her in the last little bit of Voyager, and that was good, but First Contact is the movie is just
that's
so
true.
Good. It
that's
fires
true.
On all cylinders with how the Borg should be, this scary, unstoppable force that
resistance is futile.
God, that was the last time Data was good. He just Brent Spiner kind of dialed it in after that. He stopped caring. But they all did. They all did, to be fair.
Well, he did a great job as Soong. On
oh yeah,
Enterprise,
no, I feel like he caught his
which is the scientist that created Data.
Energy back, and he got to play somebody his own age, of course, is always kind of a challenge with the Brent Spiner thing, because of course he's playing this android, but he keeps noticeably getting older when the android's not supposed to age. They've already shown him on screen in the future not aged, except for some ridiculous fucking white streak in his hair. But I love Data too.
Well, somebody
I
should,
love all the Star Trek.
Somebody Treks. Should build a
I
real
hug
Data
all the Star Treks
and make it president.
I like that the Borgs look like Cenobites. It's kind of sexual.
Well,
they're wearing PVC outfits. That's hot.
Well, I'm glad that you get that out of it.
And then
they're
Seven
weird.
Of Nine. No, they created a whole character around that. Seven of Nine is a sexy Borg.
Yeah, you got a point. That is, it's the fetishy thing. It's,
well, they may have a fetishy
well,
look.
You're like maybe one of the most just.
That's the
hyper sexualized.
Yeah, but
your
that species is.
Guys, I know.
And that species is not defined as sexual, and Star Trek is very good about
explaining. Spend some time around the rest of the fans. Go Google some cosplay stuff.
No, I understand that
Borg.
People think the outfits are hot. I'm just very, very true to the story.
Seven
Vulcans have a
exist.
Defined sexuality. I would love to research Romulan sexuality. I already have.
Don't Klingons do it with their hand?
Klingons beat the shit out of each other. They're punch fetish.
Ferengis do it by their ears.
Yeah, I love the Ferengi ear play.
Basically, the
Ferengi
ear play.
I just watched the episode where Quark's mom takes her clothes off to make Rom
oh, right? Yeah, that's sexy, isn't it? It's like that scene out of the fucking Shining is what it is.
It was so amazing. It was such a great television.
That's good. I love all the Star Treks. I'm going to keep saying that because I do.
In the Ferengi homeworld and the Ferengi civilization,
okay, so we
women
have,
are not allowed to wear clothes.
What's your favorite aspect of Star Trek, Diana?
I like the, well, yeah, I kind of said it earlier. It's about that this just hope, this dream that things are progressing to be better and better and that they will be better and better. And that it's something that that humanoids, no matter where they come from, they're all going to strive towards this goal of nothing can really, destroy it or whatever. I like that. I like how positive it is.
Okay, who's your favorite character?
I don't know. Right now it's Geordi. Because of that meme.
Geordi's a noble character.
There's a meme.
And out of all the fucking engineers and all the Star Trek.
99 problems and a breach ain't what?
Yes, if you're having hull problems, I feel bad for you.
Out of all the Star Treks. If I had to pick my favorite engineer, the one I would want on my starship, it would definitely be Geordi.
Dude,
yeah,
take
he's
Trip?
Such a sweetie poo.
No,
I'd take Trip.
Well, that's because you and Trip have a lot in common.
Yeah, and I watched Reading Rainbow, so that LeVar Jordan, that's his name, right?
LeVar Burton.
LeVar Burton. Who's Jordan?
He has a Twitter.
I follow him, or I used to back when I gave a shit about Twitter. I kind of fell off the Twitter wagon.
Yeah, well, thanks God for Tumblr.
Yeah, I like Tumblr. It's like Twitter, but pictures.
Okay, so...
what do you have against Trip?
I have nothing against Trip. I prefer Geordi.
You just want to, do you want Jordy with the banana clip on or Jordy with the super snazzy contacts?
I like the contacts.
Well, definitely whichever one is the superior technology. Oh,
it's the contacts, isn't it?
I believe it might be the visor.
Well, then I would insist that he wear his superior glasses.
Yeah, put that banana clip on.
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought that the banana clip he just saw in infrared.
Of course, Worf is the best chief of security.
I feel like you make so many wrong choices.
Would you like Odo better?
I love Odo.
Yeah.
Odo and actually Kira, because she holds up station security and Odo does.
Kira is red.
Eddington. Yeah. Eddington, who you haven't met yet, is very good. But yeah, I'm going to go with Odo.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I know.
How about...
what doctor?
How about doctor? Yeah, that's the next important one.
It's got to be... here's the thing. That's hard because the doctors, in many ways, are the perfect parts of their show. They're all kind of the heart of their show.
I'm talking about your goddamn ship.
Oh, Bones. I've taken Bones. Bones. Yeah. I've taken Bones.
Yeah, the space-time continuum conspiracy has decided to give you...
Although Julian's got spoiler alert, genetic modifications...
That explains a lot.
Julian's got the genetic modifications that are black market and illegal, so he's technically better at a lot of things. And if you get the hologram can do a lot of stuff that the regular doctors can. Of course, it also is annoying and it fritzes out all the time. Yeah, I'm going McCoy. I'm not even considering Crusher because she brings Wesley. It's not a woman thing, but Wesley might come. I would absolutely maybe even take Beverly over McCoy I could be sure that her son would never step foot on the ship. But it's McCoy for me.
Here's your favorite, sage, wizened, advice person.
Khan.
Yeah, mine is a bad guy,
too. That's not Whoopi Goldberg.
No.
But there are a lot of...
But good for you, Whoopi, for being on there.
There are a lot of cool characters like that on Star Trek, and so far, in my opinion, the prophets in the aliens that live in the wormhole.
Favorite character, just period. Who's your favorite character?
Jean-Luc Picard.
Okay, who's your favorite character?
I can't.
You got to.
T'Pol.
All right.
You're going to go with the one that you want to have sex with.
No, she made me love Vulcans. She is a complex character. She preaches logic.
Oh, this is important. Before you say yours, who's your favorite bad guy?
My favorite bad guy?
Yeah. Is it Q?
No. I don't even count Q as a bad guy.
He's all wacky. He's like the Riddler.
That's like when Mixchess Pitalik shows up in Superman or Batmite in Batman. It's goofy. That's all that is. It's goofy fun. Except for saying, oh, by the way, here's the Borg, and I'm going to give them to you way before you guys are ready. What did he ever really do? Not a whole lot. Like, in terms of long-term change. No, my favorite bad guy is...
questions about human nature.
Gul Dukat. Gul Dukat is my favorite Star Trek villain.
Right now, I was thinking of him as not even being a bad guy.
I know.
that's the question.
Well, here's
style.
The thing, is at the very end of the show, or at least towards even in the last season, you're still never sure if you really like him or you really hate him, if he's a good guy or a bad guy.
I love Garak.
Oh, Garak's very, very cool. Have you met his dad yet? Okay, you're going to meet his dad at some point.
But I've been chilling with the Obsidian Order for hours.
I also am very, very fond of Khan. So that one gets a tie, I think.
That punishment, that was really...
You know
sadistic.
Who my least favorite Star Trek villain is? Years. My least favorite Star Trek villain is Christopher Lloyd Klingon. That's my least favorite Star Trek villain.
Who is that?
In Star Trek 3, in The Search for Spock, the main bad guy is Christopher Lloyd, Reverend Jim from Taxi, the professor from Back to the Future.
Oh my God!
Lloyd.
Okay, sorry.
Uncle Fester in the Addams Family. That Christopher Lloyd is the main bad guy in Star Trek 3, The Search for Spock. And
which one is he? Is he Fester or is he Doug Malloy?
He's basically all of those. He's just a scenery chewing villain, and it doesn't work. And unfortunately for Christopher Lloyd, he has to follow...
he's like in Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yeah, that's yeah. Unfortunately, he has to follow Ricardo Montalban's performance in the second one, and that's real hard to do.
Yeah.
That's Ricardo Montalban.
Khan was a pimp, bad dude.
Motherfucker, yeah. Man.
He was scary. Cool. He was fucking, you know, and he was kind of right to feel the way he did, you know?
Of course he was.
And he had those cool, like, weird Indian hippie outfits.
Well, that's back to the thing, is that in Star Trek, you agree with the villain, at least a little bit.
That's smart writing. Yeah. That is smart writing.
Well, guys, I think I'm going to have to sign off, though, because it's sleepy time.
All right.
It's Mindcore Studios, dumbass.